And that's Amy Helm from our album of the week, This Too Shall Light. And you're listening to New Music. I'm Kari Hedlund here with you Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 2 and 10 p.m. Joining me in the studio right now is Jeremy Messersmith. He's in Grand Rapids all week long performing pop-up shows at nursing homes, Old Central School, ukulele workshop at the library tonight, yoga studios, ending with a finale at the Center Stage Minnesota concert Thursday night at 7:30. There are a few tickets left for that show at rifecenter.org, or you can also call the box office there. So as mentioned, Jeremy, first off, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
And my pleasure. You're playing pop-up shows all over this week. And when you released 11 obscenely optimistic songs for the ukulele last year, you toured all over playing pop-up shows. I was following your social media. And you've incorporated these throughout your career as a musician. What do you enjoy about them?
I think I enjoy the challenge of going someplace and not knowing what's going to happen. There's something that can be very boring about driving to a venue. You load in, there's nobody there, it's fairly desolate, your green room looks like a janitor closet, and then you play a show for people that you can't really see because you have lights shining in your face the entire time. It kind of creates a sameness. And so when I did the 11 obscenely optimistic songs for ukulele tour, I wanted to be all places that were outside, all places that were beautiful or notable in some way. And I wanted the audience to sing and participate however they wanted. And it just made it so much more memorable. It felt more natural. It felt like art and music sort of removed from commerce almost. And it just was lovely and just nourishing for me.
But yeah, I can see that would be offer you something different every time.
Yes.
For those going to your pop-up shows this week and, you know, coming to the show on Thursday night, other than the obvious addition of human bodies with the band, what might be different about Thursday's show versus like a pop-up show?
Oh, pop-up shows tend to be very participatory, so I will rope people into singing with me. They tend to also be loose. They're unamplified for the most part. And so it kind of like brings people into very close quarters, or at least I try to. In any case, so it ends up being a lot more participatory. I think when the band is up, it'll be a little more just, you know, kick back, relax, and we're going to try to play our songs as beautifully as we can.
So we are in Minnesota. How does that go, getting people to participate?
Oh, it is not hard at all. Really? It defies every stereotype about Great. Minnesotans that I've ever heard. I mean, I've had people show up to, you know, the biggest ball of twine in the world in Darwin. Mm-hmm. I've had people, you know, I did a pop-up show in Bemidji, and there was actually there were a bunch of people coming out with ukuleles. Two Harbors has a ukulele group, and they all came out. There was a gentleman in that Bemidji show who came out with a vest. I wasn't sure what he was wearing, but it was a vest. I thought he looked like a bomber or something like that. Turns out it's a vest that holds harmonicas, and he had one for every key, and he was ready to go. So at least what I found, everybody's a musician. It's just not everybody has the outlet, and the pop-up shows are a great outlet for people to just come out and sing, and I think it's just a healing, natural part of being a human being, and I think we need to do more of it.
I think that's great. You also released, we're going to talk about your new album too, but the 11 obscenely optimistic songs for the ukulele, you released it first as music sheets. Mm-hmm. And it kind of was the idea to just let people interpret it how they want it.
Yeah, that was precisely it. I didn't want my versions, you know, me singing it with the ukulele, to be the definitive versions. If people wanted to, I wanted them to discover the songs themselves. I mean, there are people out there who are amazing musicians who don't have maybe careers doing it. And at least in my life, the songs that have been the most important to me weren't the ones that I just heard on the radio. They were the ones that I learned and the ones that I sang with my own voice. And at some point, that song, you know, it doesn't belong to somebody else anymore. Once you sing it, it's yours, and it's yours forever. And I wanted people to have that experience. I wanted to basically give away the songs as best I could. That's one of the things I love about kind of the great American songbook and folk music in particular, is that after a few hundred years, nobody cares who wrote the song. You know, it's important that the song is there, but you know, you'll everybody is rendered anonymous by the passage of time. Mm-hmm. Eventually. And it's really, I wanted the songs to kind of live in people's hearts in that way.
What was, do you remember the first song where you were listening and it made you realize, oh, songwriting, that is something I want to do?
Oh, the very first one. Well, I think I'm not sure if I can remember that kind of a moment, but yeah. I grew up singing a lot of hymns in church. Mm-hmm. And kind of my early forays into songwriting were rewriting lyrics to old hymns to make myself and my friends kind of like laugh or something like that. So I guess I just started doing it to amuse myself as a tiny little Weird Al Yankovic kind of person.
So you did, first off, I'm talking with Jeremy Messersmith here on New Music. He's in Grand Rapids all week long and playing shows everywhere, ending with a finale at the Center Stage Minnesota concert Thursday night. We just posted a link earlier today on our Facebook page with all of the pop-up shows, so you can find that information there. So Jeremy, you did an Instagram Live video the other day of you listening to your 2008 album, The Silver City. And the first song starts out with some light rail noises, and you kind of made a joke, or kind of mocked yourself on the video, saying how artsy-fartsy that was. Do you know who else just released an album and started it off with rail sounds?
Oh, no, who did?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, I'll take it. So, all right. Well, if Sir Paul is doing it, then I'm not going to feel bad about it.
I just watched your video, and then I reviewed the album, and I was like, no way. I thought that was funny. Seriously, though, what was that like listening to your album, like with your, you know, fans or followers watching? Was that awkward, weird?
I mean, yes, I felt a lot of things, but I, you know, as somebody who kind of enjoys like performing in bizarre places out in the world, I think I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie for that. So the more awkward, the better. It was interesting listening to older albums, and it's been only 10 years. I'd be curious what I think in like another 20 years or so. But it is like listening to kind of an older, or sorry, a younger version of yourself. And so there's a lot of like, it was hard to shut down like the judgment, you know, like, oh, I was such a kid then. I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, all of those things. It's like the older me is kind of trying to invalidate everything the younger me is saying. Especially because, like, you know, the first song on the album is called Welcome to Suburbia, in which I kind of lampoon the idea of suburbia as this internal paradise, you know, that you eventually graduate to in America. And I'm live streaming from a suburb.
The irony.
Yeah. At some point I was like, well, yeah, it's the younger version of me very much judging the older version of me. all in all, it was okay. It was nice to be reminded of some stuff. And I hadn't listened to the album. At least I don't remember having listened to it in a number of years.
Yeah, now. From start to finish.
Yeah, from start to finish. I mean, probably not since I made it. And it was really fun to be, I think after 10 years, and even though I play some of the songs live, it was really fun to be delighted and surprised by stuff every once in a while. Like, oh, I remember, oh, I played trumpet on that. Oh, that's super fun. It also made me think of a lot of the people that I was working with at the time, and a lot of them that I still work with today. So maybe in a couple of years, I'll do the same thing with The Reluctant Graveyard, my record from 2010.
You should. Yes, absolutely. You have a new album out now. Late Stage Capitalism.
Yes.
And that was just our album of the week last week, so we dug into it quite a bit. But I want to play a couple songs, little tidbits from the album, and then just have a few questions after that. First off, we're going to hear Once You Get to Know Us from Late Stage Capitalism. This is Jeremy Messersmith on New Music.
It's an undiscovered paradise. You'll love it here. People are nice. We're far from perfect. We spend a lot of time inventing ways to kill each other. Still, we think once you get to know us.
Okay, that's Once You Get to Know Us. So first off, who are you writing this to, Jeremy?
Oh, this was written from the perspective, at the time I was looking at buying houses in suburbia, as it turns out. And I was struck by real estate agents' vocabularies. So the way that it was like reading things in code, you know. So they're like, oh, look at this cozy, you know, fixer upper. You know, that's a way of saying small. It's like a small kind of house that is in serious disrepair. And I just thought that it would be kind of fun. What if there was the original title of the tune was Intergalactic Real Estate Agent. And just the idea was, what if you were trying to sell some, you know, aliens on the idea of how great Earth is, you know? And
so were you thinking of Earth as it is today or Earth in years to come?
It's the Earth in the years to come, you know. Okay. There are a few different paths we can follow, and I chose kind of the more bleak one to sing about in the hopes that we don't actually end up there.
Right.
Yeah. I co-wrote that one with my musical mentor and kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Dan Wilson from the band Semisonic. Yeah, we wrote that out at his house.
Of course, and you've worked with him in the past.
Yes, produced The Silver City.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hear the next one from Late Stage Capitalism. All right, that one is Jim Baker, and you're laughing as we're playing that song. But I heard you were basically classmates with Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Yes, only about, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years between us, but we went to the same college in Minneapolis, which I'm not sure that people realize.
No.
North Central University, back then North Central Bible College.
Okay.
Jim and Tammy Faye went there, met there, and apparently got kicked out of there because... They got married too soon. It was against school policy. So
okay,
yeah.
All right. So anything more about that song that you want to share?
Oh, just that it was really fun to finally do a blues song, which I kind of have. I don't know. I just have never gotten around to writing, and I just thought, well, I went to the same school as that guy, and I thought he was gone, but he's apparently back on TV doing like I'm not sure what network, but I see funny clips of
making
his
lots
show.
Of money, I bet.
Yes, yeah, selling buckets of dehydrated potato soup and things like that. And I just think it's quite funny. And honestly, I guess I just have to respect the hustle at this point, like to go to prison and then come back and kind of do the same thing. I'm impressed.
Something to appreciate there.
There are things to admire.
All right, we're talking with Jeremy Messersmith. I have a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up here, Jeremy. So you've been in the music scene for a while in Minnesota a lot, and who are you excited about? Who are some up-and-comers that you've kind of been exposed to?
Oh, there are quite a few. I just saw Now, the band, play this last week, and they had an album in 2012 called Threads, which I just thought was amazing. They have a new one that just came out.
Saved, yeah.
And just live, they were so much fun. And my favorite part of going to see live shows is when you see something... something that isn't supposed to happen. Hopefully nothing tragic, I would hope. But when you see, in this case, Now was performing, and there was a power outage on stage, and they ended a song, like, suddenly, because their instruments just turned off, and that was it. And it's just, you get to see, like, who they are as actual people when the veneer of professionalism falls off. You know, they're not doing their thing.
How did they cope?
Yeah, how did they cope with that? And they were just kind of like... they were stunned at first, like I would have been, and then they just laughed it off and put on some guitars and then kept going, and it was just really great to see.
Yeah.
Super fun. So I very much like them quite a bit. Also, Cameron Kinghorn is a musical...
Nookie Jones?
Yes, Nookie Jones is a friend of mine, and I think every once in a while Cameron plays trumpet for some of my gigs, and it's a bit of a joke because the best singer in the band is the trumpet player. But really, they have a new album that's coming out, and it's just so funky and feels great, and Cameron can sing anything, like just maybe my favorite, one of my favorite voices in the Twin Cities. Also, Haley has a new record coming out called Pleasureland next month that I'm very excited about. Haley has been, I guess she's been up here before.
Yeah, she was part of our Center Stage and part of our Riverfest as well in the summer.
She's probably been my favorite, or one of my favorite longtime Minneapolis musicians, and I think everything.
It's all instrumental, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I have not heard it yet, but I'm very excited about it.
I know. So. I think that'll be fun. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, Jeremy, and thanks for coming up and being here this whole week. He's got shows. Oh, let's see. We have a show tonight at the library at 7 o'clock with a ukulele workshop afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow he'll be at Nopo Coffee at 10. And at Elder Circle at the YMCA at 11, and Plain Bird Awakenings 4 to 6, and at Old Central School on Thursday for a noon hour show. And then for our Center Stage concert Thursday night, 7:30, get your tickets at rifecenter.org or at the venue. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you.